on the phone.
Connie's here.
Rosemary's here.
Hey, Rosemary.
Hey.
I think it's just you two. And here we have George, Pam, me, Sarah, Holly, Laura, and
Dennis.
Okay.
The new guy.
Laura Turner. Oh, yeah, Laura Turner. Not Doug Nolan. So I guess we can get started. For you guys on the phone, I just have the ASPN MailChimp account pulled up. So, I mean, we can really just kind of get started. Hopefully some others will come or join, but who here, I'm assuming everyone kind of uses MailChimp or has used it in the past?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you used it, Dennis?
No.
Okay.
I already admitted that I just sent my stuff to Laura Turner.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just kind of going over, MailChimp, some things I think in MailChimp are fairly simple, putting content up there, but then other things are less obvious with what to do, like editing and different places that you can edit. So I'm basically going to start this, and we can go over the different aspects of it, and then we can also kind of just have open discussion about different parts of MailChimp because we all have different experiences, and we've all just learned different things in the last year or so of using MailChimp. So, hi, welcome. At the top, if you are logged in, you can see all the different tabs, campaigns, that's where your emails live, automate. That, we don't really need to worry about it, Degnon. I think that's more for tech people. Audience, which, of course, is where your different audiences live. And then we have the brand tab. Actually, this navigation bar used to be different. It used to be templates and Content Studio used to have their own different tabs up here, but I guess MailChimp recently moved them to be underneath the brand tab. So we have templates, manage website, manage domains, and content studio. And really the only things I think that we would focus on here is templates and content studio. And then reports, which actually reports, I don't go into myself super frequently, but it can be pretty useful if you do have the time to just look at what your, the impact of your different campaigns or emails. So, for example, Kidney Notes for ASPN is probably the most popular email that we send out because it's our bi-monthly newsletter, and it has a lot of content. You can see it had 371 opens, 212 clicks for the most recent Kidney Notes that we sent out on January 1st. And you can kind of see the time the different people opened it. When it's most popular in the morning and then in the evenings. And also, I wish, honestly, Kidney Notes, so that for us is a PDF. I almost wish that we could put the whole PDF, like all the links, into MailChimp so we could see the amount of clicks on there. Because it can, you know, it shows you that 1,953 people opened it, which is awesome. That's what we want. But we can't see what they clicked on within Kidney Notes since it's a PDF. Another good one to use would probably be the Interstitium, which is the other newsletter that we send out. And we send one out in December. That one has less content on it, but you can also see, hey, Deborah, the different links that people click. So the most popular one was our travel grant link that was up there.
Yeah, come through.
Yeah, come through.
Thanks.
And I think different people can kind of see different information with these reports depending on what type of plan your association has. So I know some people have a free plan, and I think that they probably are not able to see as much as ASPN, and then some people, like APA, has probably the most expensive plan. Did you guys have the most members?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can probably, because I think we can't see, where is it? Like we can't, if you click onto the main reports page and then you see reports, all audiences, we can't see comparative, automation, or landing page reports. I don't think we would worry about landing pages. But, yeah, so reports are useful, and we could potentially make them even more useful for us, depending on what our users want, what people are looking for, what type of data they're interested in. So audiences, you go to that tab. We have, with ASPN, previously had some issues with audiences. I remember last year we were adding we have our current members list up there. That's our main list, just with all of our current members. But last year we added a list on here for the Founders Award. I think, was that what it was, Connie? I think it was the Founders Award invitees or something like that. But it was a smaller list, maybe of like 150, 200 members up there. And because the members were basically counted twice, our billing increased substantially. So I remember that was a big topic last spring, and spoke about it with Pam and just kind of looked into the MailChimp resources to see what the issue was with that. And the biggest thing is if you go into audiences, or we'll go to view contacts, you can add tags on here, which we don't have. And really that comes down to the way that we update our mailing list for ASPN is because we're constantly daily getting, or at least definitely weekly getting new members with ASPN. And so there's probably a better practice than what we currently have to add and update the list. And that would help with adding tags. So I don't know if anyone else has any experience with updating your audience list or how frequently I'll update your list.
Oh, I was just going to say, that's for Neon. I know you don't have Neon for ASPN, but for Neon, it pulls the audience in automatically.
Yeah.
So you don't have the problem with the extra billing?
Yeah, no, it pulls the members right to the database.
Okay.
Do you guys have multiple audiences with APA?
We haven't had two yet, but I mean,
we did when we, before we switched to MailChimp, we had a long set of different audience lists that we would send to.
Okay.
Yeah, but she means, I think it's separate from all members, maybe just ESPN
for all members. Yeah, we did do that. That's what I'm saying. We had, a list of participants in this program, participants in this research network, these people who want it, who are just part of this committee, those lists.
Okay.
Those are across.
And there's got to be a way to, definitely with Neon, I know I've used that in the past, it's been a while, but with the consortium, they integrated the list from Neon to MailChimp, and it was, once you learn how to do it, I think it took maybe, a minute or two to load, which is fine, it's not that big of a deal. But once you learn how to do it, it's really good because you can track your members more easily than with the current method. I'm basically just pulling information now from Access and then putting it into an Excel file and then putting that into MailChimp. Exactly.
Yes.
So it's a lot of copy and paste. Mm-hmm. It's not the best method.
Or tags meant to put them on multiple lists. So if you
attach
them, this person is a general member.
Okay. That's a symposium, yeah. So at one point we did have a separate list for symposium members before our symposium, that was back in September. So we did have a separate list for them, and that was helpful. And then the same thing with our founders list.
Do you know, so if someone unsubscribes, can you subscribe them at all?
Can I subscribe them again?
Yeah,
with constant contact, if someone unsubscribes from the list, you could never add them back in.
Yeah,
that's a question though. Does that impact
all emails that send out through MailChimp?
Yeah.
If people unsubscribe, they don't get them.
Yeah. So there's a few, but I also have a question of if someone unsubscribes, that means that they don't want the ASPN emails or whatever
their
situation.
Yeah, if people unsubscribe, they like send out an email and they don't get applied to them, but then say if you're sending out this due renewal, which I guess you're putting me on now or whatever, then those people that are unsubscribed won't get that email.
So there could be different lists maybe that could be built into Neon, different audiences, I should say. And this is like you have one big audience for all of your members, and this is like for your newsletters. And then you also have a similar one, but this is for your dues, which are definitely, that's definitely an email that everybody wants.
But I think the problem is even if they unsubscribe, even if you have different groups, any like correspondence from MailChimp, they won't get.
So if they unsubscribe, so because I've seen this before with other websites where you can unsubscribe from certain types of distribution.
The whole system.
It's that email. They're unsubscribed to everything.
The whole
email. They're technically unsubscribing from MailChimp. Services.
No,
guys,
that's what I was saying.
So you can't just put them in another list and hope that the email will never go to them. Actually, when you try to put their name, their email address back into the system, it blocks you and says this person, and it just eliminates them from the list and acts like you never did it.
So.
Yeah, it seems like there should be a workaround with that because,
well,
you know, when you go in to unsubscribe to things and other things like you do, like emails that I get, like, you know, I may not want the newsletter, but I want all of the updates for something else.
But that's like if you're subscribing to like Pottery Barn and they offer like different PB Teen, PB Kid, PB Apartment, or whatever else their company splits into. MailChimp doesn't have that because if we subscribe them to a list in MailChimp, MailChimp doesn't care what else we're sending out. Like they're not subscribing to our email
because that's like
my Diversity Inc. or Sherm, I can pick what I want to unsubscribe to.
But
they're set up the same way the retail people are set up.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the former.
So I'm wondering if, you know, we have this person here, if they unsubscribe, but then I delete a list, which I don't like doing, but say I do that, and then I reload it, they're still unsubscribed.
It's their email address.
It doesn't matter. I try.
Yeah.
You have to have a different email address for them. It's the email address that's getting caught.
And I understand, like, a lot of times we can send several emails in a week and people get fatigued by that. What is the best way to, I mean, we could send out emails saying, you know, please don't unsubscribe. You can put it on the website.
Yeah, so that, and also, so I'll bring up the dues thing. So the problem I have with AK last year, I did the dues renewal through MailChimp, is, one, if people have unsubscribed, they don't get that email, and then two, if you send it through MailChimp, a lot of times institutions block bulk emails, so a lot of people weren't getting them, so our numbers were low. We actually had to send it out, and we had to send it out separately, but what I've been doing with MailChimp is, obviously it's a good place to build campaigns and like make things pretty, but then you can send it to yourself and then send it on like a listserv or out to email or like a mail merge, but again, you can send it through MailChimp, but some institutions will block it. Or if people are unsubscribed, they won't get it. So those are the downfalls with MailChimp.
So what is your current practice with tracking unsubscribed emails?
So I just send it, like, if we send it through MailChimp, I'll either send it off to our listserv or I'll just send it to our listserv. Or it just depends on, like, kind of the communication.
Yeah,
because there's no way, again, for people that have unsubscribed to get it otherwise. So, but again, we post it other ways, like because we have the app now, a lot of the same content from MailChimp is going on the app, or it goes on the social media, or it's on the listserv.
And then with Neon, it would make a big impact, too, on what they can see and what they can't see.
What do you mean?
They will
be able to see much more
now
with Neon, because it's all up there, and they can log into their own portal. Whereas currently, if you don't have Neon, you know, you just really just have the website if you have unsubscribed. So,
So when we're live with Neon, is the idea that all of the communications are going to be done through MailChimp? Like renewals, registration, and all that stuff?
No, so for dues renewals, it'll be sent out through Neon. there's a way to
okay.
do it instead of
it doesn't have to go through.
No, it doesn't have to go through MailChimp.
Okay.
And I wouldn't recommend it because that's
right.
the problem,
yeah.
is that those people don't get those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's a way to send it out through Neon, like renewals. But, like, big communications obviously is about a conference. Yeah, you've got to think about how you're going to send it out.
Yeah. Always have
avenues.
Multiple avenues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the lesson learned, is have
yeah.
multiple avenues, and if you do send out, like, dues reminders or something, MailChimp, through MailChimp, because you haven't gotten, you know, Neon completely set up yet, then just watch your numbers and be aware, because you may end up having
yeah.
to do workarounds like we did. Thankfully, our dues are calendar-based, so everyone is renewing at the same time, so we could put that out on social media channels as a reminder, and I think we also sent personalized
yeah.
messages
just
to everyone, too.
Like, get it because it's blocking my
mm-hmm. So we were, like, pulling up people that we knew, because it was, like, the president in
France.
Yeah.
So
like
that was a clear
yeah.
issue that people weren't getting to MailChimp.
So when people go to unsubscribe, should there be a message that says, please note that if you unsubscribe, you know, here.
I think it says that. It
okay.
says something, like, you'll not be received. It says something
yes.
about
but
it.
I don't
yeah.
think we have control over that. That's
yeah.
MailChimp service.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
I think the lesson here is if you're going to send out bulk emails through MailChimp, don't let it be your dues renewals unless you absolutely
yeah.
have to, and make sure whatever you're doing is also posted, like, on your Facebook, on your website, on if you have a Twitter, if you have an app. Put it out through multiple avenues, because then at least you have, like, a 1 in 5 chance that someone is
yeah.
going to see it.
So we can move on to campaign, because that's really the, you have audience, that's a huge function of it, and then also campaign. So, of course, to create a campaign, you would go here to create campaign. I believe you can also click on this monkey guy, and also create campaign over here. But what I did when ASPN first got MailChimp, I actually went into what is now under brand. I went to templates and created two major ones. There, you can see there was some trial and error at the time, because I would sometimes start working in what was a template and thinking it was a campaign, but I just basically called this one generic ASPN emails, and so this is what I would go down to the right-hand side and then click create campaign from there, and it will automatically just create that basic template. It is a super basic template. It could probably be made a little bit more beautiful. And it does give you a warning when you click on it. You know, you are working on a template. Just be mindful of that. And so, like I said, it's basic. This was an original email that I had built. So I will, whenever I'm creating a new email, I either go into templates. I have another one for our interstitial emails. Same thing. You can kind of click on here and view it. You can also update these if you want to. And this actually has become more of a common practice for me, just because everything is right here. I will go into one of our emails that we've recently sent out, go to the right-hand side of the little drop-down arrow, and click replicate, which I did that yesterday. I have this little untitled email right here. And when you click on the actual email, this is where I go to work on anything. So, of course, you want to update the I keep the internal title almost always the same, if not, like, very slightly different from the actual external title that people are seeing, just because that's easier for me to track these emails. Add recipients. We only have one audience right now. It's current members, but you might have more than one audience from who is sending this. ASPN, and then you would put your info at email address, and then subject. I do like to do the preview test, just because I think it's fun when I receive an email that says something in there like webinar is, and then whatever the date of the webinar, and then the biggest though, the place of course where you're going to spend the most time is in the content section. So you can click, you can hover over it, and then there's this preview function to really just look at it from that perspective. There's another preview section when you go into the email, and then there's this send a test email that we use pretty frequently. And then you would click on edit design to really go in and design your email. So you have different blocks in here. You can see right here under content all these different types of blocks. To add a block to your email, you just you just click and drag, and you place it wherever you want. It's a little bit harder for me to move around on here. But there are different functions to every block, which they each give a little description over here. But what I did in the beginning of when I started using MailChimp was really just play around with these different blocks. And it took me some time to kind of figure out how to use them and what's the best function. The reason for that is because when you're editing a block, there's different places to edit that. And honestly, I think that's one of the most frustrating parts of MailChimp. And until you learn that, it's going to frustrate you just because it's not obvious. So, for example, if I click on this main content block here, there's these three different sections. There's this main section right here where it looks like it's the most obvious. You know, you have your basic text formatter. You can make sections bold, italicized, change the font, etc. But sometimes if you go to edit these, it doesn't make the changes in this section, the main preview section of the email. And I remember sitting there trying to figure out why it wasn't showing up and just sitting there frustrated with MailChimp. But that is because you could go into style and edit the font and the alignment and the background color and all of that here, or you could hit save and close and get out of those three tabs and go into design. And then you would have to figure out where your section is. So usually it would be body, but it could be other places. And it's a whole different section to edit the content of your email, which I find confusing. You know, I would wonder why the body link isn't changing. It's because it was all the way in here instead of, you know, when you click on the actual content box. And that's kind of, I also find it strange that, you know, you have these different sections, pre-header, header, body, footer, etc. But then if I change, for example, one of the most frequently used sections on here is body link for me. If I change body link, then I feel like it impacts the entire email, not just this one section. I mean, really just comes down to playing around with it and knowing that, you know, if it's not working, if you're editing and it's not showing up in one section, to go to a different section of the email and click around. Because it's not always in the same place, and I don't know if you guys have similar experiences with that. But that's really the biggest, that and the billing, the audience issues, are the two most frustrating parts of MailChimp for me. It's just like the lack of obvious places for, or there's just a lot of different places to edit. If you click on settings, that's also another place where you would add two columns. And that changes depending on what type of content box you have. So, for example, if I add, like, image and caption in here, and then I click on settings, then I have, I can change the caption position, alignment, number of images, etc. I don't know, if you guys want to chime in with any other input, if you don't, that's fine too. Okay. And then, again, you would save and close it, and then you can preview from there, like I showed earlier, or you can preview, if you hover at the top and then click preview and test, enter preview mode, it'll show up here as well. You'll also want to make sure, especially when you're building an email from scratch, to put your social media down here. And then y'all wanna, they add random codes here, so you just, not, it's not even really code, it's just like place wording, that's the right word for that. So you just wanna make sure you have your mailing address down at the bottom. And if you wanna put any other thing in here, you can do that. We could potentially put something, a little disclaimer in here about the unsubscribe option. That could be a good thing that we use for ASPN. The other thing is with templates, let's just get out of here. If I go to templates and I decide to build another one, they have layout themes and then code your own. So you hover over one of the layouts and then you click on the little magnifying glass, that will show you the template. And this is something I also learned because I would click on it trying to view it, and actually when I clicked on it, it selected it. And then all of a sudden I was creating a new template. So that's just a little tidbit. But honestly, I found the more generic, somewhat bland, I would say, looking templates easier to navigate, easier to learn than the themes, because the themes do look very pretty, but one, they're more sales-focused, so that's not really what we're going for a lot of the time, except for maybe registration. But two, they're nitpicky, so, you know, if I were to edit this one, for example, it just was a lot of back and forth between me and this MailChimp template to make it specific to ASPN. So maybe, and that's, you know, maybe just the way that I work is different from the way other people work, and it could, I don't know, if you guys have experience where it's been more useful for y'all, it's kind of up to you. I have used these for, like, I think I used this one maybe for when we sent out a holiday email in the past, and looking at my emails, I probably could spend more time making them a little bit more pretty. So that's really campaigns. And then the same thing with preparing to send emails. So if you're going back to campaigns and you want to test an email out, I have found that different browsers show different information differently. So, for example, if I send a test email to Sarah D at Degnon, sometimes it completely alters the image or it alters any type of graphic in there, which is super frustrating. But then I'll test and I'll send it to my own personal email at gmail.com, and it looks exactly like it did in MailChimp. So, but of course, you know, just because it looks good in Gmail, if a lot of people are receiving emails through Outlook, I don't want it to just be sent out. So that is, Outlook, I think, blocks different types of functions in emails. I know, Rosemary, you sent me an email shortly, not that long ago, about some issues that you were having with APPD. I don't know if you want to chime in on that.
Yeah, we just had a real struggle with a couple things. Our bulletin is our monthly publication. We've tried several different ways of getting this through MailChimp. It's almost like I have to trick it and, like, send it one way and preview it, and then if it's not right, I try another way. One of those ways is an email beamer, because we have, like, a table format for that we've always used. And then the other thing within, if you go from through the email beamer route, sometimes it messes up any type of bulleting or special formatting. It's really frustrating. So then we've had to go back and try it as a Word, add-in through Word. We've even tried coding our own. It's just been on and on. Most recently, I tried the email beamer again, and it seemed to work. Even with the testing. So it's kind of just haphazard, to be honest. I just have to keep trying and seeing what it'll do.
Yeah, and Meg, you've used beamers before.
Mostly with APCD.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's just it's hit or miss whether it formats it like you had it in Word or not.
Yeah.
What's Beamer?
I've actually never used Beamer.
So it's when you create an email in Outlook and then you email it to a code that you have in your MailChimp account, and it pulls it in there as the email that you had in Outlook. But I think the more formatting you have, the more likely you're going to have problems with it.
Yeah, so I guess the biggest, you really just have to play with it and test out different images. There may be a more standard way to do it, but it really depends on your images. So, and then, of course, just because these different email platforms show things differently, as well as what Laura T. said earlier about different institutions block mass emails as well.
So I think when you send something through MailChimp, the purpose of doing that is that it is sent as individual email. I don't think that's the reason it's getting blocked. It might be that because it's .org or, I don't know, there might be other issues, but when you send an email through MailChimp, it's not necessarily a bulk email. And that's why you do it this way.
Yeah.
You avoid that.
I did have one institution where four or five different people were not receiving our emails for a while.
Yeah.
And they had to go through their IT department to figure out, oh, there's
firewall.
Being blocked. Yeah,
right.
There's a firewall.
Yeah, so that's happened forever, and it's usually the at address, not necessarily MailChimp.
What do you mean, the at address?
Like at psychosomatic.org. Like they might have that as something that's on their blacklist.
Okay.
And it just needs to be moved to their whitelist. So it's not a MailChimp thing, it's a...
Yeah. That was happening with Constant Contact and when people were blind copying mass emails and...
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So that might happen if you send through the blind carbon copy on Outlook, but that shouldn't be a reason if you send stuff through MailChimp.
Yeah. And as far as formatting goes and different email platforms kind of messing up the formatting and skewing the pictures, I don't have a solution because I don't think there's an overall solution to that. I think it varies depending on what you're building, whatever template you have, the image you have. So I wish I had an overall solution, and maybe there's somebody who has more knowledge than I do, but
I think the best practices for sending emails is that you have as little formatting as possible.
Yeah.
For several reasons, because, you know, if you're looking on a phone, you don't want a lot of extra stuff, but I think, you know, kind of the guideline is to put as little formatting as you can into an email.
So do you think with newsletters, it's best to send a PDF link?
I don't know. I mean, I think... like, for me, I feel like if I receive an email a newsletter that's a PDF, it's kind of antiquated.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably a web-based email or newsletter or, simple something in an email that links to web pages I think, again, it's up to the client what their expectation is for their service.
Yeah, sure.
I think it definitely depends on your client as well. I know a lot of APA members, they're going to look at a newsletter or whatever we send out on the go, on their phone. They're in the middle of clinic, so they don't have a whole lot of time.
Yeah.
So our emails are pretty straightforward, like Meg was saying. You want them to be really easy for a quick scan. And if there's something of interest, you link the title of it and you put a two-sentence max description and let it and just go. It should lead them to the website because at the end of the day, the website is our presence that they get to go explore. So we should have everything directed there in the first place.
Yeah, so that's another point is that, you know, anything that, any link, any PDF really that, maybe not links, but any link possible that can link them back to the website is great to use. When you have a PDF, put it on, if you have WordPress or, you know, have IT, put it on your website first and then use that link to then, because what you can do is you can technically upload the document into the Content Studio section, which I have done for a few documents, but I try to not do that for a lot of documents because then it will just lead them to MailChimp rather than leading it to our website. So going into the Content Studio, you can see different, you can filter your content to be either images or documents, and then you can also really organize it if you want to add just different folders in here that would be relevant to maybe your annual meeting or your newsletters, what have you. And then just to see an image, to view details, you just click on the image and then click View Details. You can also edit the image within MailChimp, so if you need to resize it or that's really the main reason I edit images, it's just to resize, but you can go in here. You'll make sure you want to lock dimensions when you resize so that it doesn't become distorted. If you need to add text for whatever reason on top of an image, you can do that right here. And there's tons of different options to edit them, but I think really the main reason we would use it, I can't speak for everybody, but that I edit images in here is to resize them. And then for any documents that you do upload, it doesn't show the name of the document. So you have to click on it and then view details, and then you can see this document that we've uploaded in here. I mean, that's really it with the Content Studio. This is the major gist of MailChimp. It's so simple and frustrating at the same time. I do like it. I just think some things like the audience features and editing the emails can be a little frustrating because with editing emails, it's not obvious where to edit fonts or something like that. And with audience, it kind of impacts your billing sometimes, or you're impacted by the unsubscribe feature on here. So if anyone else wants to add any more feedback, content, whatever, feel free.
I think another quirky thing about it is that if you add text, like copy and paste text from Word into here,
because
this is really, I don't know if HTML is the right way to say it, but code-based.
Yeah.
So if you're copying Word into it, it creates a lot of extra code, and that's when you're more likely to have problems with the formatting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can, you can go into campaigns and, choose. So go into campaigns, pick a campaign, and then you would click on the content of the campaign, and you can click in the editing section, you can hit clear styles. I'll do that to this one because this is really just a test, but it still doesn't make that big of a difference. I guess it would make more of a difference if I had more changes in here to make.
Well, I wonder if you have to highlight the text first.
I don't think so, but maybe. Oh, yep, you're right. Yeah, so that is one way to take out what may have been put in there that you don't want in there, or...
Or you can always put it, if you have a whole bunch of text, you can put it into, like, WordPad or something like that first, and then put it in.
I think it's called, Notepad.
I think there might be a function in there that allows you to put it into a box first before you put it in. I can't remember what that is, though.
I don't know, because I have used Notepad a lot.
Box text?
This one, box text?
No, like if you have, maybe if you have it copied, it'll test it. I don't know. But I think there's a way to do it. Just know that you need to be conscious of the formatting if you put something in there from Word.
Yeah, so the biggest thing you would use is probably Notepad.
Yeah.
But if you do find the box that you're speaking of, that would be helpful to know about, too. Is it in MailChimp that you use, or...?
Yeah, it's in there. Like, if you go back to where you were editing the text earlier.
Back in here?
Box, yeah. Like, I think it might be one of those things, you know, clear style, one of those...
This?
To the left of it.
paid from Rich Text, maybe?
Yeah, one of those things.
Oh. Yeah, okay, that's good. So I've actually never used that. That's handy.
Go, Rex.
What's it called?
Page from Rich Text Editor.
And those little carrots, those are where you can see the coding.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know coding, that might be helpful to you. But
this right here?
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you get back same close? Or you just click on it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right. Well, I guess that's it for now. We could probably make it a, I don't know if we should send out a staff email about the unsubscribe feature and just to be wary of that and figure out best practices. It'll depend on if you have Neon or not. But I think that and learning about the Rich Text Editor are my biggest takeaways from this session. Does anyone have questions or anything?
No, you did a great job. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you guys for coming.
We'll be expecting another one this year. Any updates?
All right, well, that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye, honey and Rosemary. Was it useful for you being on the telephone?
It was a little hard figuring out where everybody was, but in terms of on the website.
Right.
So but
Zoom.
I think I got it.
Yeah.
We'll do a Zoom next time.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah.
I thought it was useful to hear about it. I don't use MailChimp that often, but it's helpful for me to know about for sure.
Okay, perfect. All right. So my takeaway is we're going to do Zoom next time or so. All right. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. Enjoy your weekend.
My biggest takeaway is I'm not...